This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
My name is Genevieve Hausman, and I'm a group leader at the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology. And I'm really excited to have this opportunity to tell you about primate skeletal gene regulation and osteoarthritis susceptibility across evolutionary scales. So what I plan to do in my talk today is to first start with an introduction to complex skeletal traits and some of the mechanisms that can contribute to these traits. And then I'll focus in on one specific trait, osteoarthritis, which is a disease characterized by the degradation of cartilage and underlying bone and joint in different joints. And of note, OA has a high and steadily increasing prevalence rate in humans, and this has prompted some questions about whether OA is a mismatched disease or not. So what I'm planning to do in this second portion of my talk is to discuss what is known about osteoarthritis prevalence rates and potential underlying mechanisms. And these two pieces of information together can really help to inform whether we actually have enough data to classify osteoarthritis as a mismatched disease in humans or not. So to start, for those of you that are not familiar with the skeleton, it is an organ in our body that serves a variety of extremely important functions. And these functions are conserved across individuals and species, but from an anatomical perspective, skeletal structures and shapes can vary drastically, both between species and within species. And additionally, the skeleton, unlike other soft tissues and living primates, can remain preserved in archaeological and paleontological records. So what we can do is we can use these tissues to learn about both living species and extinct species. And in addition to all of this really exciting morphological variation, the skeleton, just like, of course, every other organ in the body, can become diseased. And there are many different both acute and chronic skeletal disorders, and both individuals and species can have different susceptibilities to these conditions. So altogether, the skeleton has biological, behavioral, and biomedical functional implications, and additionally, traits within the skeleton can also result from a combination of many factors, including genetic factors and environmental factors. Now, some traits are predominantly driven by genetic factors. So for example, osteogenesis imperfecta, which is a disease that results from mutations to one gene that drastically alter this gene's function. On the other extreme end of the spectrum, some traits are predominantly driven by environmental factors. So for example, rickets, which results from nutrient deficiency, and that results from nutrient deficiency no matter what your genotype is. However, most skeletal traits like osteoarthritis are complex, which means that multiple genetic factors and multiple environmental factors can influence the trait. And these factors actually often don't have very clear or direct effects on traits, but instead what they do is they mediate their effects through changes in patterns of gene regulation. And by gene regulation, what I'm referring to is this complex process by which DNA is transcribed into RNA, which is then translated into proteins, which themselves build and maintain the complex phenotypes that we can see in the skeleton. So really, to fully characterize the mechanisms underlying most skeletal trait variation, what we need to do is we need to consider possible genetic factors, possible environmental factors, and gene regulation variation that can mediate these effects. And on top of this, we also need to consider that genetic factors may have different effects in different environmental contexts. And environmental contexts may be more than just external factors, but they can also include different developmental contexts and different cell and tissue type contexts. And this complex combination of factors across many contexts is how most complex skeletal traits arise. So we really need to be mindful of the potential multiple and interacting factors that can underlie trait variation. Whether we're thinking about trait variation within just one species, or thinking about trait variation across multiple species and evolutionary timescales. So, with all this in mind, that complex skeletal traits result from complex combinations of many factors across many contexts, what I'd now like to do is focus in on one particular skeletal trait, osteoarthritis, which again is a chronic disorder that's characterized by the degradation of cartilage and underlying bone and joints. Now, osteoarthritis can occur at any joint, but what I'm showing you here is what this disease looks like in the knee joint, either directly after a knee has been dissected or using a type of scanning technology. Now, when osteoarthritis develops, it can lead to severe joint pain, and this can result in mobility limitations and difficulties performing routine tasks of daily life, and this can then in turn lead to productivity loss. And this, in combination with how expensive treatments can be, really make osteoarthritis a substantial financial burden. And on top of all of this, there are currently no approved treatments to reverse or cure osteoarthritis. And again, because modern populations of humans are thought to have high and steadily increasing occurrence of osteoarthritis, this has led to some debate about whether osteoarthritis is a mismatched disease in humans. But really, in order to determine the answer to this question, we first need to focus in on a couple different aspects. First, do prevalence rates actually vary? And if they do, what are the mechanisms that are driving this variation? So what I plan to do in the remainder of my talk is to discuss what we currently know about each of these different points. So first, let's consider osteoarthritis prevalence rates, and we'll start with what's known in humans. And what we know in humans is that in 2020, there were almost 600 million people that had osteoarthritis, which is about 7.6% of the global population. Now, we can look at this prevalence rate across a variety of different dimensions. We can look across geographic populations and see that the United States has high OA prevalence rates as compared to countries in sub-Saharan Africa, which have lower prevalence rates. We can look across sexes and ages and see that osteoarthritis is much more common in females than in males, and more common in older individuals than younger individuals. And we can also look across different joint regions and see that OA is much more common in the knee than in the hip. Now, if you isolate these different dimensions, what you can do is you can capture different rates. So for example, it's been estimated that as much as 59% of older adults in the US have knee osteoarthritis. Now, 59% and 7.6% are very different rates, but they're both true depending on what subset of the data you're considering. So just keep this in mind throughout the talk and as I discuss different prevalence rates. But going back to these different dimensions, actually the most important dimension for thinking about mismatched diseases is time. And if we look back to 1990, at that time, there were a little over 250 million people that had osteoarthritis, which is 4.8% globally. And that means between 1990 and 2020, there's been a 132% increase in the cases of osteoarthritis. And this increase is just expected to continue over time. So it's clear that cases of osteoarthritis are increasing in modern populations. But actually, when we look at the data a bit more closely, it actually seems to appear that the increase in osteoarthritis cases that we see across these different geographic regions appear to be mostly due to population growth and population aging, and that the actual change in rate of osteoarthritis prevalence, which is shown here in kind of that orange-yellow color, that actually is only having a minimal effect on osteoarthritis case numbers. But 1990 was not actually that long ago. So what if we look a little bit further back in time? Well, when we look back a few hundred to a few thousand years ago to prehistoric, early industrial, and post-industrial times, the skeletal record actually suggests that knee osteoarthritis prevalence was two times higher in more recent time periods than in more ancient time periods. And also, what if we look back a little bit further? Well, we can see that there are some examples of osteoarthritis in different hominin species, but actually, it's quite difficult for us to assess prevalence rates in these ancient records because there's limited sample sizes and there are some biases in the fossil record. So what we can do instead is look to non-human primates and consider how osteoarthritis prevalence rates differ across different species, and then use this information to predict whether high osteoarthritis prevalence is unique to modern humans or not. And there's actually been a decent amount of effort put towards assessing osteoarthritis prevalence across different primates, at least in some taxa, with some researchers trying to do comparisons of prevalence across species and other researchers doing work kind of to investigate osteoarthritis more thoroughly within particular species. And on top of this, there's also a lot of other exploratory research that's been done. And actually, what we find when we compile these data all together is that it's clear that humans still, of course, have high prevalence rates in both total osteoarthritis and in knee osteoarthritis. But in addition to humans, both cercopithecoids, at least some cercopithecoids, and some strepsirrhines also have high prevalence rates of osteoarthritis. Now, this high OA prevalence rate could have arisen separately on these different lineages, or it's possible that it could be a shared phenomenon with a more ancient origin. And that might be true because it actually has been observed that many other mammal species can also develop quite high prevalence rates of osteoarthritis. But really, this all sort of depends on what the mechanisms that are driving osteoarthritis are, if they're environmental or genetic, if they're shared or divergent. So we need to think about these mechanisms a bit more carefully. But to summarize so far, osteoarthritis prevalence is high in modern human populations, but as of right now, this doesn't seem to be a uniquely human phenomenon. So now that we've covered osteoarthritis prevalence rates, let's consider the possible mechanisms that are driving these rates. And to start, let's focus in on environmental factors. Now, one very well-known contributor to osteoarthritis is skeletal injury, and this could be due to actual fractures in the bone that disrupt nearby joint environments, or this could be injury due to kind of micro injuries in joints that occur over time, either because of your occupation or because your bones are malaligned. Now, injuries can happen by chance, so this is a risk factor that's essentially always existed, but bone alignment variation, which again is something that can lead to these micro injuries, bone alignment variation can arise during development and may not be something that is avoidable. In addition to injury, there are lots of other environmental factors that have been associated with osteoarthritis as well. Physical activity, diet, body mass, obesity, inflammation. And these environments may actually have differed between modern human populations and ancient human populations. And actually, in addition to humans, these sorts of environmental differences have also been thought to explain why captive animals appear to have higher rates of osteoarthritis than their free-ranging counterparts. However, if we actually just focus in on captive animals, we actually know that captive animals have a lot of variation in these same environmental factors and their physical activity and their diet. They can vary quite drastically between different captive groups. And this environmental variation within captive animals can influence osteoarthritis severity, but it actually doesn't necessarily impact osteoarthritis prevalence. So there might be more going on than just environmental changes. And of course, this makes sense because, again, osteoarthritis is a complex disease. So we also need to consider other genetic and regulatory factors. And along this line, there's actually been a lot of osteoarthritis genome-wide association studies that have been conducted in humans. And the most recent study has included almost 2 million individuals, which is amazing. And all of this research in humans so far has identified hundreds of genetic variants that are associated with osteoarthritis. And these variants are either associated with OA in one joint or OA in multiple joints. And with these data, it's pretty clear that genetics does have some contribution to osteoarthritis prevalence. But it's important to note that these genetic variants really actually have very small effect sizes on osteoarthritis, and they tend to be in non-coding regions of the genome. And so they're thought to have an impact on gene regulation. So the next step is to figure out how they're impacting gene regulation to then impact phenotypes. So what researchers are starting to do now is to examine molecular phenotypes in relevant tissues from genotyped individuals to see how genotype and molecular phenotype are related to one another. And by finding osteoarthritis-related genetic variants that are associated with regulatory patterns, what we can do is then we can really map how these genetic factors that appear to be associated with osteoarthritis development are mediating their effects to actually contribute to osteoarthritis development. So that's one way to kind of understand regulatory mechanisms underlying osteoarthritis. An alternative approach is actually to, instead of first identifying genetic factors and then looking at regulatory factors, to reverse that, to instead first identify regulatory variation and then evaluate genetic variation that is associated with certain regulatory regions. And one group of researchers that did this found that there's some evidence for ancient positive and purifying selection that has shaped the human knee joint, both the regulatory patterns in the knee joint and the morphology. And essentially, because there's genetic constraint on the human knee, their prediction is that in modern human populations, drift and pleiotropy can essentially increase the risk of developing osteoarthritis, which is a pretty interesting angle for this disease. Now, overall, because these different types of approaches provide really a lot of insight into the molecular mechanisms underlying osteoarthritis, there have been a ton of different calls to gather additional information about osteoarthritis-related gene regulation information. And this is super awesome, but there are a few limitations. First, the focus is really predominantly on humans and on diseased tissues. And really, these types of samples, diseased tissues from humans, with these samples, it's really difficult to control for different environmental factors. And given this, some of the work that my group is doing tries to aim to improve these different areas, first by trying to expand our understanding of gene regulation in non-human primates and also in healthy skeletal tissues. And additionally, we're doing work to try to build different experimental systems in which we can control environmental factors and then examine what are called genotype by environment interactions. So in particular, one of the first things that I did during my research career was to try to recover patterns of gene regulation directly from non-human primate skeletal tissues. And specifically what I did was I was able to examine DNA methylation variation in both healthy and osteoarthritic tissues from non-human primates. And I was able to evaluate regulation variation both among different primate species and across various dimensions within species. And interestingly, when we focused in on healthy and osteoarthritic skeletal tissues from non-human primates, I found that many of the OA-related regulatory changes in non-human primates actually overlap with those that have been identified in humans. Now, there were a variety of ethical considerations, experimental challenges, and storage condition issues that I encountered while doing this work with primary skeletal tissues from non-human primates. And these challenges are perhaps why different larger consortia like GTEx, which has assayed human gene expression variation in dozens of tissues and is currently now expanding into non-human primates, has not yet examined bone and cartilage, even though they've examined a variety of other tissue types. Nevertheless, given all of these challenges, my research group has started to shift towards establishing human and non-human primate skeletal cell culture systems where we can differentiate cells to create bone cells, cartilage cells, and fat cells from different human and non-human primates in petri dishes. So a variety of different cell types that are all derived from different mesodermal lineages. And with these different cell culture systems, what we can do is we can examine gene regulation across healthy skeletal cell differentiation. And we can look at how regulatory patterns in either bone cells or in cartilage cells are shared or divergent between different primate species. And we can examine how gene regulation in skeletal cells responds to different environmental perturbations, including perturbations that induce an osteoarthritic like matrix degrading phenotype. And again, we can compare how these regulatory patterns vary across different primate species and how regulatory variation mediates specific genotype by environment interactions. Now, overall, I think that these cell culture systems have a huge potential to improve our understanding of the molecular mechanisms that are underlying osteoarthritis And I think this is really important because there is a lot of further clarification that needs to be done. But I'll leave it there for now and return to our original question about osteoarthritis, which first, do osteoarthritis prevalence rates vary? Well, the answer is yes. They vary across a variety of different dimensions, across populations, across ages, across sexes, across time, across species. And because they vary, the next question, what are the mechanisms driving this variation? Well, there appear to be many factors driving this variation: environmental, genetic, regulatory patterns, interactions across factors. So overall, OA prevalence does seem to have increased in modern human populations, but high osteoarthritis prevalence is not a uniquely human phenomenon. And while there are some modern human environments that may play a role, there are many additional factors involved that really have not yet been fully resolved. So altogether, there is some evidence to suggest that osteoarthritis is a mismatched disease in humans, but there's still so much more to learn about the mechanisms that are underlying osteoarthritis susceptibility and why there is so much variation in osteoarthritis across different primate species. And if high OA prevalence rates in non-human primates are perhaps also mismatched diseases, and if they are, whether these mismatches are similar or different to what we see in humans. So with that, I will leave it there and acknowledge all of the people in my group and collaborators that I work with and funding that has helped to support some of the work that my group does.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.